Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Monahan heads to LTIR. Flames have a losing streak? Some struggles? It was quite the difficult week for the Calgary Flames. Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered on a Tuesday night. Gotta do it a night early. Flames play Wednesday and Thursday nights, so we're trying to shuffle it so that we can watch the game instead of talking about the Flames. So we do it on nights. Usually it's on Wednesday nights, this week on Tuesdays. Oh, good news and bad news. Bad news? Flames had a skid this week. Didn't look all that great. Weren't horrible. But really weren't themselves either. Didn't look crisp and clean. Good news? It's Masters Week. One of my favorite sporting events of the year. I'm excited. Yeah. It's a great week. So beautiful in Georgia at this time of year. And at that course is just unbelievably amazing. So much history. I would give anything to get to go to this tournament, and I will. I hope someday. It's a bucket list item, a non-hockey bucket list item, which I don't have many non-hockey bucket list items. Tiger Woods is playing. That probably raised the TV ratings by 80%, which is sad, true. I'm not a huge Tiger fan, but I'll tell you what, I find myself watching more when Tiger's in there in the field. It's just the way it is. Golf's so relaxing to watch. Much different sporting event than hockey to watch. But it's very intriguing if you watch the tournament through. I know a lot of people are like, oh, it's too boring. If you watch it through, you'll understand what I mean. It is pretty darn entertaining. It also means golf's right around the corner for us. And in the last couple of years, I've tried to spark my game back to where it was when I played college golf, and I'm getting there. I'm getting there slowly. I'm not as quick as added as I thought I would be. Handicap's going down. Right at that 10 mark now. And this year my goal is to get it to that 8-7 mark, which is a big jump. I'm going to have to play a lot of golf this summer. We'll see. Tough week mentally for the Flames, wasn't it? It was for me as a fan. And I we've been spoiled this year. And just watching them be so good on a night in and night out basis. For this week's struggles, it was a little bit, I don't know. The team seemed out of whack. Flames Twitter was in a full tailspin. Big shocker there. And the team, what scared me a little bit is there's been a couple moments this year, one right before the COVID shutdown, when I believe we went on a 4-game losing streak, I felt like at times the team did look a little fragile, and that's something we haven't seen. Team seemed afraid to make a little bit of mistakes, and I don't know. They looked better though last night. I thought they played out of it a little bit now that they're on the road. So we're gonna talk about that a little bit more later on. I bit my tongue today, and I feel like talking tonight, I feel like I'm slurring all my words or something. My tongue is like so swollen up. Not as bad as Gabranson's was. Oh my gosh. It just feels a little uncomfortable to talk tonight. We'll get through it though, right? Daryl Sutter on After Hours Saturday night. I love listening to Daryl Sutter talk. I do. It was not based around the team so much as discussion about his family and his life growing up in hockey and his brothers and all that. But Daryl Sutter and the whole Sutter family are amazing storytellers. And I think Daryl Sutter has moved into my top four guys I'd like to sit down and have a beer with and just talk about life, about hockey, about everything. Because I think he's about as honest, straightforward, and intriguing person as I've ever listened to. And, yeah. It would be great. On today's episode, yeah, we're going to get it kicked off here. We're going to recap the three games from this past week, and we're going to talk about this Monahan story, and he's off to surgery and headed to that long-term injured reserve list. This team now is at 13 games remaining in the season and still sit in first place in the Pacific, which is good news. But we're definitely in the dog days of the NHL season. And why have these Flames struggled lately? There's a whole myriad of different reasons, and I want to talk about those. We'll talk a little bit about the Flames prospect pool, and how does this team sit as far as prospects go? Or we're going to have to start using some of these guys. And we'll wrap with some Flames news, some news from the Pacific. I'll take a look at that playoff picture that's getting oh so close. And then we'll take some listener questions if we have some tonight and preview a busy four games this week for the Calgary Flames. Yeah, it's good to be back. Time for some more Calgary Flames talk. Alright, Flames fans, let's talk a little Kings Flames, and let's rewind the clock back to last Thursday night, as the LA Kings came to the Olympic Saddledome. It's been a long, long time since we called that. Yeah, now I'm Scotiabank Saddledome. Seems a little odd. It's still a Scotiabank, isn't it? Why do I feel like that's wrong? No. Is it different? Did we change it this year? Did we get a new sponsor? I don't think so. I probably should know that, right? Shouldn't I? Oh, boy. Let's talk hockey. All right. This game was an odd one. I felt like the Flames were stuck in the mud all night long. I just didn't feel comfortable with this team on Thursday night. They lose in a shootout, 3-2. Nobody scores in the first. Kings get one in the second. Flames bounce back. Ends up 2-2. Nobody scores in overtime. We go to a shootout. Cal Peterson gets his win, his 19th of the year. Markstrom is 13th loss of the season. I don't know. Kings clog the middle up. Made this just an awfully boring, boring hockey game. Just bad, boring. And Flames did get it going a little bit more in the third, and that was good. Shillington injured. Oof, awkward fall into the boards. Not good at all. Yeah. Now, is it good news to talk if we lose? And we got a point, though. Flames weren't good. Sutter said, well, good teams find a way to get a point. He's right. They got one, so that's good. Saturday night, St. Louis comes to town for a Hockey Night in Canada battle. 2-2 after one. I thought a pretty decent first period. Robert Thomas scored first. Brett Ritchie scores a weird goal. And then Johnny Gaudreau scores his 32nd of the year. Ryan O'Reilly scores late in the period on the power play. We're 2-2. Entertaining first period. Really good. I liked it a lot. I thought the play was really, really good. Only one goal in the second as Justin Falk scores for the St. Louis Blues. Were 3-2 after two, and I'm a little worried at this point. And then kind of the floodgates opened in the third. And when this is all said and done, Calgary ends up with 43 shots on goal, St. Louis 25. Ville Husso, who's taken an, I'm sorry, ran away with Jordan Binnington's starting netminder position, has run away with it. He's getting the nod in the playoffs over Binnington. In the third, Noah Hanifin ties it up, and it all looks good. And then Nathan, with about 2 minutes to go, and this one pissed me off. Nathan Walker scores for the Blues, and it's just like, phew, all the air went out. Barbashov gets an empty netter at the one minute to go mark. Dylan Dubé pots one 22 seconds later. We're back, and then Brandon Saad adds an empty netter, 6-4. Wasn't really a 6-4 game. Was more like a 4-3 game, inflated. And, Shillington did not play with an injury. Yarncroc was a late scratch for a non-COVID-related illness, which threw the lines into a jumbled mess. And I thought Markstrom struggled a little bit this night. And I'm not saying he was bad, because it's hard to bitch about Markstrom this year. He just didn't have some of the saves at those key moments that we needed. Hard to throw this one on him. I didn't feel like he got a lot of help. Defensive mistakes, really uncharacteristic mistakes in this game. Lots of turnovers. I don't know. And this home game, this last six game homestand, which seemed like it lasted forever, the Flames went 2-3-1, and that's not really good. It's not really good. And a lot of people around the team were saying it's going to be good to get on the road. And they did just that last night as the Flames were in LA to take on the Kings again. The Kings with a win would pull them to within 1 point of the Flames. Games in hand, we'll talk about that later. Didn't happen anyways. Flames get the win, 3-2, shots on goal, 33-29, Markstrom with his 32nd win. Peterson gets the loss. Game-winning goal, Johnny Gaudreau, because Johnny Gaudreau was good. 10 seconds in, he gets a goal. On the night, he ends up with 2 goals, 1 assist. Elias Lindholm has a nice goal from his patent spot right in there on a given goal. Great, great play. And the Flames snap their 3-game losing streak with this win, and Gaudreau was downright amazing in his three-point effort. And the division lead goes up to 5, from 3-5, and 6 on the Oilers as it stands right now. And that's good news for the Flames fans. They kind of took that monkey and ripped it off and threw it in the trash. I know it wasn't a convincing win last night, but it seemed like for the most part, the Flames did control this game for the most part. And I thought it was a really good, a good team effort. I wasn't really happy with Tkachuk as he took penalty after penalty after penalty. And the Flames had to kill a 5-on-3 late in the game. I think Tanev deserves a ton of credit. Gabranson deserves a ton of credit. Both those guys were very good last night. I thought Toffoli was snake bitten, but good last night. Gaudreau and Lindholm were amazing. And Tkachuk was very undisciplined last night. And it kind of reminded me of the Tkachuk last year when he was in his whiny stage. I didn't like it last night. I like Tkachuk when he's on his fire and he's confident. And wasn't a horrible night. I'm not freaking on him, but he needs to direct his intensity correctly. But you know what? It's a win, and a much needed win for the Flames. All right, Flames fans, let's talk about Sean Monahan. As Saturday morning, in a press conference at 11 a.m. local Calgary time, Brad Treliving met with the press to announce that Sean Monahan will miss the remainder of the season and postseason and will be placed on long-term injured reserve because he's going to have to face another hip surgery, the other side, and a devastating blow. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. Not so much a devastating blow for the roster on the ice, but a devastating blow for Sean Monahan in his career. We all know about the surgery last year in the healing process and what Sean Monahan had in front of him. And it's been quite a process. And a sad process, because this guy is about as good a guy as you're going to get. And he's went from a first line center to a fourth line center. Hasn't bitched, blamed anybody, pointed, passed the blame, and done anything other than say, I need to be better and I will work hard to be better. Don't you wish everybody in life would have that attitude? Because we live in a world right now where people are so full of bullshit excuses and so quick to point the finger. Ah, it's because of him. Oh, it's because of him. It's because of this happened. Oh, it's because of that happened. And Sean Monahan, who's went through more surgeries than in his short career than most players go through in a lifetime, just went to work every day with a lunch pail. And when things were really bad for Sean Monahan, like they have been lately, and he's faced a boatload of criticism, some warranted, some not, from the media and the fans. He's been the whipping boy this year, guys. Sam Bennett was your guy last year. TJ Brody was the year before. And Sean Monahan has taken so much criticism over the last 18 months, it's just ridiculous. Was there nights I was mad at him? Yeah, because I'm used to seeing that Sean Monahan in the slot that can slap it home just at the blink of an eye. And that's not the Sean Monahan we have anymore. But it's not because of him. It's not because he's not working hard. It's not because he's not playing hard. It's because he's injured. It's going to be a difficult road for him. Treliving said that he plans to be back for training camp next year, and he will be around the team. He's an integral part of the team. That's why he wears an A, and will be an active member around the team as they go forward and work towards a playoff spot, and he's going to be doing his rehabbing in Calgary. Treliving couldn't say enough good things about Monahan, and he deserves it. One of his quotes was, he wears a letter for a reason. He plays a different role from a previous 7 and 8 years he's been here. He doesn't bitch and whine. He says, what can I do to help this team? That's what Sean Monahan's all about. It's pretty good praise from your general manager, and it's pretty truthful. Now, Monahan has one more year in his contract at 6.375, and we'll see what happens with that. We'll see how the recovery is. We'll see where it goes. His career has been filled with significant, not minor injuries, significant injuries. And I wish Sean Monahan the best. He was probably my favorite player on the Flames. A couple guys have maybe taken that over now here in the last 2 years. But, he's a stand-up guy. He's a good guy for this organization. And he's done everything that we can ask for as a fan base, right, guys? And I saw tons of sentiment, or, you know, nice comments this week about him and wishing him the best in his surgery. I don't know. I thought about it a little more, and I looked in the mirror at myself and the times that I criticized him. I don't know. Maybe we need to think a little bit more, all of us, everybody in the media and in the fan base, about the stuff that goes on outside the arena, and the stuff that these guys are human beings that they have to deal with in day-to-day life that we just pretend like it doesn't exist. You know, we have to deal with, you know, family members who are ill, or, you know, or whatnot, you know, problems at work, or problems with your family, God forbid, or anything like that. And we all deal with them as human beings on different levels at different times in our life. And we expect these players to show up every single night and give us, you know, everything and have it all magical and perfect every night. And we forget that they're humans and they're battling through injuries, and they're battling through significant injuries. I don't know. It made me look in the mirror a little bit. Unfortunately, the timing of him going on LTR IR is a little bit troublesome, in the fact that if it would have been a few weeks ago, we could use more cap space, maybe acquired another player to strengthen the team in a different way. And that's unfortunate. But we can't know that he's going to go on LTIR. We can't arbitrarily just put him on LTIR like it seems like some teams do. Vegas, yeah, you. I don't know. It's too bad. I just pray. I pray this is not the end of Sean Monahan's career. Because we have to remember the good old days where Sean Monahan was getting a pass from Gaudreau in the slot and was money every single time. All right, let's talk a little bit about the struggles lately, this losing streak, and what's going on in Calgary. Why are we having these issues? And are these issues overblown? Did the fan base pull this out of control? Daryl Sutter was somewhat subdued and not overly critical, which I think was good because I think there's a point where the players are eventually going to be like, oh, God, again? Enough. Like, we've heard enough, you know. I don't know. The losing streak was 3. It seemed like 6, didn't it? Frustrations were mounting with the fan base and with the team. And during the practice this week, we saw a fight, or not a fight, a skirmish between Gabranson and Coleman. And at first I thought, oh no, we have this great locker room. Is this a problem? Do we need to worry about this? Like, where do we go with this? And then I thought, what are you talking about? These are competitors, man, going hard at practice. It's going to happen. And these are guys that are going to be able to walk into the locker room after and shelf it. They're going to take the problem and shelf it, and they're going to be normal, and everything's going to be fine. Daryl Sutter, when he was asked about the tense interaction, it's good. He said it's a contact sport. Those two guys that were banging each other around, those other two, I can't even read. Those are two bangers, right? We need some guys that are pillow fighting to be a little bit more of that. I don't know who he was aiming the pillow fighting thing at. I don't know. Kind of summed the week up, though, didn't it, in Calgary? Just a frustrating week. And injuries happened. We talked about the Monahan one. Oliver Shillington goes flying into the boards awkwardly again. This guy goes into the boards awkwardly more than anybody I've seen. I don't know how he survived the Minnesota Wild incident, but this one he didn't. And he has been out and missed a couple games now. He's listed as day-to-day. Then Richie gets hurt in a scary ankle or knee injury in the St. Louis game on Saturday night. We haven't. Yarncroke's been out with a mysterious illness, and it shuffled the lines up. We haven't had to deal with injuries. We talked about it 50 times on this show that, like, man, like, we're getting by so good here. We're not dealing with injuries. We're not dealing with injuries. It's been such a luxury. First line has stayed the same. Backlund's been centering Toffoli, Mangiapane, which I like. Lewis had to jump in at center and center Coleman and Dubé. That's changed a little bit now with the recall with Ruziska stepped in there. Lewis went back to wing on the fourth line with Carpenter and Lucic. Yeah. Defense, Stone's been in, filling in the spot for Shillington, and I think he's done fine. How many guys can do that? Just step in and just be like, all right, does he bring to the table what Shillington does? No, he doesn't. But what do we expect? If he brought to the table what Shillington did, he'd be in the lineup every damn night. He's done well, and he's been fine. But this losing streak and this frustration is because some of this team is cold. They're not scoring. They're not putting up points. Outside of our first line, listen to this. Mangiapane, 1 assist in his last 5. Coleman, 1 assist in his last 5. Lucic, 1 assist in his last 5. Toffoli, a goal, 2 assists in his last 5. Nothing in his last 3. Backlund, 1 assist in his last 4. Yarncroke this year, since we got him, he's limited time in the 7 games. He's got 2 assists. That's it. We didn't bring him in to fill the net up, but we brought him in to bring a little bit more of that dynamic on a guy that can put the puck in the net. We haven't seen that yet, and that's disappointing. And I'm not writing him off. And my gosh, he's sick now. But like, I hope that as he gets more used to this team and as things get moving more and more in, that we start to see a better side of that. Defense has been sloppy as can be lately. Lots of mental mistakes. Kachuk has had more turnovers in the last four games than I saw in the last 24 before that. Some of them in the defensive zone where he just turns and throws. You can't do that. Gaudreau had a couple ugly ones. I know against the Kings the first time. He was golden last night. I'm not criticizing Gaudreau. Zadorov's been a little bit off of his game. I thought he looked better last night. Hanifin and Anderson had a couple circus shifts against St. Louis. I thought both of them looked much better on Monday night. And Daryl Sutter, through this whole struggles, has just, you know, tried to keep the team on course by saying, we haven't made the playoffs yet. And it keeps going back to the, we haven't made the playoffs yet. And that mentality to keep the guys focused on what lies ahead and what really needs to happen for this team to be successful. Some of his quotes were, you better make sure you make the playoffs, because if you don't have that mindset, then you're going to play Colorado as a wild card and you're going to get the shit kicked out of you. And I'm not interested in that. He went on to say, if we make the playoffs, and Sutter said famed players have said, if we make the playoffs, and Sutter said a few times he had zero interest in being a wild card team because of the path through Colorado. He wanted the team to believe that they could finish in the top of the Pacific. He also went on to say that no matter who we play in the playoffs, we're going to be an underdog because we haven't won a playoff series since 2004. He's instilling this underdog, we have a lot to prove mentality into this team. Because he knows this team is getting billed as a Colorado 2 coming out of the West and is going to be a powerhouse. And we don't have a track record in the playoffs worth a shit. So he's toning the expectations down to alleviate pressure on the team, which is super smart. Flames head out on a four-game road trip now, and they started off with a win in Los Angeles. And it's just what the doctor ordered, is getting on the road. And if you think about this road trip compared to the previous road games, it's a lot different. Because the previous road games have been one day out, back, day out, back, Vancouver, back, Colorado, back. This one is going to see him go through L.A., Anaheim, San Jose, Seattle. They're going to be gone for the week. That means in restaurants together, having a drink together, visiting, bonding again. That's all good. And I think that's going to help this team. All right, Flames fan, let's talk a little prospects. And I pulled up my hockey news this week, and this is why I want to talk about this. And I'm the first to admit, I'm not the biggest prospect guy. I don't study prospects probably like I should. Not saying I ignore them, but I don't study them like I should. But as I'm looking this week, and I get my hockey news, I see the Flames are ranked 20th in the league amongst prospects and given a grade of a C+. And I thought, maybe a high grade, actually. I might have given him a lower grade. I started looking at, like, well, who do we have sitting here ready to roll for us? We got a few guys that I think are interesting. In the past seven drafts, though, the Flames have only had one of their five first-rounders pan out or play for the team. I shouldn't say pan out. It's probably not a fair combo. And now the Flames have a pair of our trio of first-rounders that I think are going to maybe break that level and move up onto this team over the next few years. The first one being Matthew Coronato, who's playing it at Harvard. He's a 13th overall pick last year. Had a good year. He's ranked from the Hockey News as a 21st top prospect in the top one, 21st of 100 top prospects. It's going to be interesting. We're going to see him in the World Juniors this summer. And he's going to probably be one more year at Harvard before turning pro. Not the biggest guy, but a super, super skilled guy. Another skilled guy, Jacob Pelletier, played this year in Stockton. He was a 2019 26th overall pick. One of the top rookie scorers in the AHL this year. The guy can put the puck in. He's as advertised. He's not a big guy, but handles himself fine. Kind of an Andrew Mangiapane type build where he's able to, you know, be effective down in the corners also. I think if we would have had more injuries in Calgary this year, which I don't want, we would have probably seen him get a shot. But this guy's putting up points like crazy in Stockton and having a great year. Another forward ranked 93rd out of the 100. By the way, Pelletier is ranked 36. Connor Zary, 2020, 24th overall pick. I keep thinking he was last year. That was a while ago. It's cold, but that's what that does. Makes you forget drafts. Broke his ankle earlier this year, struggled a little bit. Slow statistical start in the American Hockey League. His upside would be like a middle six guy, and hopefully he gets there, but he's not lighting up the score sheet, but making progress that we like to see. A guy that's just been tearing it up is Dustin Wolf in Stockton. We watched him walk through the WHL, and now he's doing it in Stockton, and for a smaller goalie, just 6'1". You know, proving everybody wrong. He was a 214th pick in 2018. That's hard to believe. I remember them throwing that one up in the seventh round, and I was like, who's this guy, you know, and doing a little bit of looking. But since day one in the American Hockey League, the guy has been on fire, and he just makes those big, big key saves, and has been amazing. One interesting fact when I was going through this prospect thing that I saw that I thought was interesting is, there's a section that they list all the players 21 and under on NHL rosters. And I thought, and Calgary had zero. And I'm like, wow, we have zero guys that, we have zero young guys in this roster. And I'm going to start looking at the roster. I'm like, yeah, we have, zero young guys. And, so I wonder, well, what is it? What's the league average? And the league average is 1.28 players per team. So we're marginally below. 10 other teams besides the Flames have zero players under 21 on their roster. I thought that was interesting. I've always kind of said that our drafting has been a thorn in the side of this organization, and that we haven't developed players like we should have. I think we're getting much better at it. We're starting to see guys like Anderson and Mangiapane and guys like that come up through Stockton. And this year Stockton's been amazing. And I think as we keep going here, we're going to reap the rewards of that. As I think this organization from the bottom up is starting to gel better. And we can hope this year's draft, as much as we don't have a lot of draft picks this year, we can start to infuse other guys there and graduate some of these guys up to the roster. Because looking at the cap next year, guys, we got some holes that we're going to have to fill. And we're going to have to fill them with million and under players. Because we got some big salaries this year. So let's hope some of those prospects can step up and fill that role. All right, Flames fans, time for just a little bit of Flames news. We're going to cruise through this section just because we've talked a little bit about this already. Injury updates. Here's where we stand. Oliver Shillington is day-to-day with an upper body injury. Did not make the trip on this road trip, so odds are we won't see him back till next week at the very earliest. Brett Ritchie, also lower body injury, looked like a knee. Haven't heard the severity. They haven't released that I've seen. And he's going to be out for a while if I had to make any guesses, but I hate to speculate on that. Did not make the road trip either, so he is out. Of course, we mentioned earlier Sean Monahan has been put on long-term injured reserve with an lower body injury. Cale Yarncroke, this is a weird one, was going to be in the lineup late scratch against St. Louis. Looked like he was going to be in the lineup late scratch against L.A., and it's been listed as day-to-day non-COVID-related illness. That's an interesting one, and I'm interested to see where that goes this week. Because if he's sick, they're probably going to want to, you know, keep them away from the other players so that, you know, we don't have more players sick. I'm sure obviously the Flames are taking every possible precaution, that they can, but, for a section of the show that I always talk about injuries that I've been able to skip over for a lot of episodes this year, unfortunately this episode I don't get to skip over it, which stinks. To fill some spots, Connor Mackey has been called up. Adam Ruziska has been called up. He did center the third line last night against LA and look fine. I still like him. I still think that he's a guy that should be a center, and even if it's our fourth line, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in some future shows here. I think he does brings a little bit more to the table than Carpenter does. And I know Sutter went on to say, well, I don't want him centering the fourth line. That's not going to do him any good. But, I don't look at it as our fourth line as a team, a line that can't produce. I think they're a line that's going to grind it out and going to shut down defenses and hit people. But there's no reason why they can't produce, though, too, right? Yusuf Valimaki's also been called up. We haven't seen him in game action yet. Johnny Gaudreau named second star of the month of March in the National Hockey League. He in 16 games in March. Yeah, listen to this. 11 goals, 15 assists, 26 points for Johnny Gaudreau. Kind of proven me wrong this year. Better write up, open up the check. We're going to have to pay some big money for this guy. Let's just hope he can do this in the playoffs, right? When the going gets tough and it gets gritty and hard down low, let's hope Johnny Gaudreau survives, right? Salary cap goes up $1 million to 82.5. That was announced at the general manager's meeting last week. So that is good news. Will help a little bit. Would have been a nice to see more, but it's not going to be for a while. There's a lot of escrow to be paid back. Standings. As we stand right now, we'll cruise through just the top four. Calgary sits atop with 91 points in 69 games. LA, three more games, 86 points. Edmonton, one more game than Calgary at 85 points. Vegas, three more games in Calgary at 82 points. That's where it sits. Let's talk about that Western Conference playoff race and where it sits as we speak right now. In the Central, I think Colorado's got, obviously, has first locked up. Minnesota's got second locked up for the most part. And St. Louis and Minnesota will be those second, third. I don't think St. Louis is going anywhere out of that spot. In the Pacific, I think Calgary, with that win last night, created that separation. Games in hand are there. For the most part, they have games in hand on everybody except for Nashville in the Western Conference. So that's good. Kings sit back, what is it, 5 points now? But the Kings have played three more games. I don't think they're catching. Edmonton, just one back of the Kings. That's going to be a topsy-turvy one there. I think those two have second and third locked up. We'll see. Vegas might have something to say about that. Nashville has secured themselves as that number one wild card right now at 82 points in 68 games. Vegas sits there at 82, but in 71 games, so they're in the number two wild card spot. Dallas sits at 81 points, but they have three games in hand. When are they going to make these games up on Vegas? And statistically speaking, odds are that they would overtake Vegas, but if Vegas could get on some kind of a run, you never know what happens there. I am officially writing Vancouver and Winnipeg out of this. Every time I give them a little bit of hope, they suck. And I think they're out. So I think it's between LA, Edmonton, Nashville, Vegas, and Dallas for those final spots. I do. Potential playoff opponents. I have went down the wrong, road in trying to say, well, I kind of like to play this team. I think we match up better with them. I'm not talking about that right now. I just think, mathematically speaking, it's most likely we play Nashville in the first round. Obviously, there's a ton to decide with 13 games left. Second would be Dallas. I don't really want to play Dallas. Third would be Los Angeles. Fourth, Vegas. Fifth, Edmonton. We'll see how it all shakes out. Some people might argue that I should switch Vegas and LA there. I don't know. Probability. I still think it's going to be a Nashville or Dallas in the first round. We'll see what happens there. Other news from the Pacific, as kind of a controversial one came up, and I wasn't going to talk about this, but I'm going to. The Ducks played the Coyotes the other night, and It was stupid. The Ducks were they're an offensively talented team. They have some young players, and they're doing what young players do that are offensively talented, and that's score goals, right? It's the whole object of this game. But evidently in Arizona, where everything's a shit show and a gong show, and the organization makes the league look bad all the time, they did it again this week. As Trevor Zegras scores an amazing Michigan goal, around an opponent, everything gets it up into the top net. Great. Later on in the game, a fight starts. Zegras is in there. Troy Terry comes in to kind of protect Zegras, and Jay Beagle grabs him and beats him to a pulp. Terry never even took his gloves off. His eye gets all damaged and just beat all up. And some people are like, well, hey, that's just the way hockey is. And I'm an old school guy. I like a good fight. But when a guy's not even fighting back, it just doesn't make sense. And then when I come out and I hear that they were saying they were skilling it up and we weren't going to let that happen, I kind of lost it. And I kind of thought, this Arizona team's a joke. This Arizona team is an embarrassment. Guest of the show and our friend Nate Thomas, who does the Anaheim Ducks podcast, The Quack Report, he talked a lot about it this week on his show and was pretty vocal on it about Twitter, and I agreed with him. It's just it's an embarrassment. The Coyotes are an embarrassment to the National Hockey League right now. And then when their commentators on TV made it worse by some of the things they said, just kind of makes you shake your head. Edmonton Oilers on a surge. In the last 34 games, you guys know that Edmonton's 22-9-3 with a .691 win percentage. Wow. So they started off 16-5, and we all thought they were for real. Then they went on a 2-11-2 run, and now have switched the gears and ran off another win streak. They're getting decent goaltending from Koskinen. Yeah. Things look pretty good in Edmonton. Kind of a scary team right now. I hate to admit that, but it's the truth. Canucks. This team's another team that I don't understand right now. Their upper management came out saying that they're uncertain on the future of Bruce Boudreau in Vancouver. And Elliot Friedman tweeted it, and I thought of, after I read his tweet, I'm like, oh yeah, I couldn't agree with you more in the fact that they think there's better options out there than Bruce Boudreau right now. Man, I just don't understand why you wouldn't figure that one out. That one's a head scratcher, and I don't know. Maybe it shouldn't be a head scratcher this year. Things in Vancouver have been goofy. They really have been goofy. Listener questions? I don't have any in the hopper right now, it doesn't look like. For Davidson, yeah, you're right. Don't give us any 2018-19 PTSD. Oh, boy. We're still feeling that one, aren't we, Flames fans? It was a frustrating time. So, you know, we were so good going into that playoffs. I felt so comfortable. A lot like I do this year. But you know what? In hindsight, maybe it was blinded by points. Would that be the right word? This year, I think we're a lot deeper. I think we're a lot more balanced for the playoffs. We're built to win in the playoffs now. I just hope we can pull through and keep things going and heal up here. And let's get into the playoffs, and then we can rest some guys. And I don't know, just get this. All rolling so that when the playoffs start, we're rolling into them on a hot streak.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Flames fans. Game previews. We got another busy, busy week for the Flames, man. This is the week we're making up our games. We're doing it. We're making up our games. Starts tomorrow night. Wednesday night, April 6th, Calgary in Anaheim. Game 2 of the 4-game road trip. Take on the Ducks. 6th in the Pacific, 68 points. 4th and final meeting. Flames lead the season series 2-1. And then back-to-back, Thursday night, we roll up the road and take on the San Jose Sharks, who one more slot down in the standings, down to seventh in the Pacific, 2 points back, 66 points. Fourth meeting with the Sharks. They have not been pretty this year. Flames fans, do you realize that in the three games prior to this, we've lost 4-1, 5-3, and 4-3? We have allowed 13 goals in three games against the Sharks and only scored seven. No team's kicked our ass more than the Sharks this year. That's scary, huh? Two nights later, we're going to be up in Seattle for an early Hockey Night in Canada battle as the Flames will take on the Seattle Kraken. They currently sit eighth in the Pacific with 50 points. So get this. Wednesday night, we play the sixth place team. Thursday night, the seventh place team. Saturday night, the eighth place team. Let's see how this goes. This is a time to make hay and get this team into the playoffs and get that playoff spot solidified. Flames have played the Kraken twice this year, beat them 6-4 in Seattle, 2-1 in Calgary. They'll play again three nights later, Tuesday night, in Calgary for the fourth and final meeting. So a back-to-back set with Kraken. Boy, just points you got to get just to solidify this and get this madness over with. It's time to, make the playoffs. It's time to, I don't know. This has been a great year, but there's been points of it where it's like, it seems like this season's taken a long time and we're down to that 13 game mark now. It's going to go quick. 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks left. Yeah, it's coming quick, guys. I'm excited for the playoffs. Well, another show. Flames fans, it's busy. We're going to be balls to the wall all week now as we got back-to-backs coming up here. Next week, we're back Wednesday night, the 13th, back for some more Flames hockey talk. Enjoy all this week's hockey action. Hopefully this week goes a little bit more positive than it did last week for us Flames fans. The magic number, yeah, 7. The magic number is 7. Check out FlamesUnfiltered.com. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great week, Flames fans. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Playoff! Yeah, baby! Playoff! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.